How are we all? Nice to see you. Now, if I'm looking a little bit red in the face, it's because I scraped my face off while shaving this morning. I couldn't find my proper Mac 4, which has got four blades, and the only thing I could find in the bathroom was a two-bladed plastic contraption. I don't know whose it was or what happened to it, but it was a lot of pain getting those bristles off, let me tell you. So, do we have anyone who uses a one-bladed razor these days? No? Two blades? Oh, we got a couple of people in there. Two blades. Three blades. Four blades? No women put their hands up. Anyone got the five blades yet? Five, right. Okay, that's impressive. Yeah, I think five is probably about the most that it goes up to these days, I think. No one's got a six, are they? Is there such a thing? But anyway, great. Let's get started, shall we? Let's not talk about shaving anymore. I'm sure you high-tech people are using electrical shavers and all that. Now then, on the techno side of things, recently, back in November, I upgraded my mobile phone, my iPhone 4, to an iPhone 5. Now, apparently, I know, I'm up on the take on the technos. Now, it's up to iPhone 7, apparently, these days. Anyway, but the big thing for me is getting to grips with this new technology is what I have found with the iPhone 5. You're going about your business, and all of a sudden, it pops up like little messages on your screen, which you weren't really asking for. I don't know why it does it, and I don't know how to switch it off. And it tells me that, so if I'm going to approach, it seems to know where I am in the world. So I may have finished in the office for the day. I'm walking to my car, and the phone pings, and it says it's going to take you 12 minutes to get home if you take Pentregethin Road, because the traffic is light at the moment. I had no intention of going down Pentregethin Road. I was going to go down Llangavella. And this thing is happening all the time. I don't know how it does it. Does anyone know? You'll have to tell me later. I go to bed, I go set my alarm for the morning, and this thing comes on and tells me what I should do for bedtime routines. There's a bedtime app, all right? Set my alarm, go to bed, this thing appears, introducing bedtime, it tells. I've written it down here because I can't believe it. Going to bed and waking up at the same time every day are keys to a healthy sleep. Bedtime can help. Answer a few simple questions to set up a recurring wake-up alarm and get a reminder when it's bedtime. It's like taking over my life. It's telling me what to do. The alarm will go off in the morning. It even knows what I'm supposed to be doing that day. Right? Because if I set my alarm for 6, it says, it is now going to take you 10 minutes to get to Penland Gym. Like, how does it know I'm going to Penland Gym? There's something wrong in the world. All right, that phones can know what you're going to do before you are going to know what you're going to do. So, like, life is being monitored, and I have this techno voice suggesting what I should do. You know, but in fairness, it does make a change from the wife and kids. So, you know, it's good to have another voice in the mix, isn't it? Anyway, but in life, whenever, you know, all of us want to get from A to B, don't we? Things which happen in the day, things which happen in a week, things which happen in our lifetime, and we do want to get from A to B, no matter what the journey is going to bring. And we have an inbuilt guidance system helping with our everyday move. We have God, don't we? God is on tap with us every day, helping us along that journey in our daily walk. And we can get a full perspective on life when we kind of seek God in our day-to-day. And that is a good thing, isn't it? Now, Paul encouraged the Corinthian church about their walk and about their life, and it's in 2 Corinthians 5 and 7. And it says this in the King James Version first, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." And then in the NIV, just as a comparison, it says, "For we live by faith and not by sight." So just as I'm starting my talk this morning, I just want us to link in that the fact that in our walk and in our lives is kind of the same thing. And God wants to help us in that journey. And of course, Paul describes how the believer can do this journey and do this walk and do this life in faith, rather than by our physical sight. So there's a deeper depth that we go into as people who have faith. So Paul's explanation to the Corinthians is that our walk is to be a spiritual walk. But in physical terms, because our physicality obviously is sure, we feel our bodies, we feel the steps that we take and everything else. But in life's journey, as a person with faith who believes in Jesus, who has a prayer life, who has a study life, who has a real relationship with Jesus, that our walk is a spiritual walk. Our lives are a spiritual life. And in the wider context of that verse in Corinthians, and I'll read it to us, Paul writes this: therefore, we are always confident and know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we live by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So basically, Paul is trying to get to grips with us as people that our experience, our confidence right now is that we belong to the body, his church, God's design for us to live life, to have a spiritual family, to live life together, to do the walk, to do, you know, life and share it together. And that is fantastic. And that's our daily experience. And if we're disconnected from church family, life is far harder, more difficult to kind of live it on our own or in a lonely or in a way where we're out from the body of Christ. And it's much more difficult. So Paul encourages us and to have confidence and boldness in that. But also, he talks about that it's better that eventually we go and we're with Christ for eternity. Of course, we experience heaven now and we experience the kingdom now. So Paul brings this reflection into being and into thinking as a person that yes, let's enjoy and make the most out of life now with the strength of Jesus in the body of Christ, because we find strength and confidence and boldness in that. But that, you know, we have a great future ahead of us. Paul walked by faith. He looked at the eternal unseen and not the temporal scene. So his focus and motivation for life was living and making the most of it now, knowing that what is to come is even better than what we're experiencing now. So heaven is not just a destination, but also a motivation. And that is a great principle to remember in life, that we're motivated in our lives, recognizing that one day we have perfect heaven to be part of. But as we know, we want to see as much of heaven on earth now as is there already. And we pray it in and we live it out and we flesh it out together as people. So that we see heaven in little pockets and little things going on in the day to day. And we can be part of that. Isn't it exciting? That we live to walk by faith, live by faith, seeing heaven more and more in this place. I know Matthew was just sharing about healing testimonies and how Sarah went to a conference yesterday and 80 people get healed. You know, this is like heaven kind of happening on earth now. You know, for us now, we're getting used to this kind of thing, but let's not forget that this is something that is really special. This is God at work. This is, you know, let's see more and more of this happening, because obviously in the Lord's Prayer, and we know it very well, but one of the key verses there, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So as a faith group of people, as people who want to see more of God at work, we can pray that in right now. We can live it out right now. And if that means praying for people for healing or anything else, it is giving God the opportunity to let us know that his kingdom is alive and kicking and is happening right now. So we're living out our, you know, lives now in the body, out and about where we're at, knowing that there's a marvellous heaven and eternity to look forward to, but we're ushering it in right now as well. So it's like, you can see what's happening, can't you? We get in the best of both kind of situations. So a huge part of living out heaven on earth today is loving people. So we walk and live in love. So when we talk about purpose of life, one huge focal point is loving God and loving people. And as we know, when Jesus was quizzed about, well, what is the greatest commandment? It's quite easy. Even I can understand. Loving God and loving people. That is simple stuff. So when we're loving God and loving people, we are on track. Does anyone here ever question, am I on track in life? Well, a good place to start is if you're loving God and loving people. Yes, you are. So well done. That is quite an easy first step to remember, isn't it? And at times we experience, I don't know if you've experienced this, but I certainly have, loneliness, boredom, lack of purpose. One area we can look at is this. Well, How could I make a difference in somebody else's life today? So it kind of takes the focus and the kind of inward looking position, and it helps us actually to go out and live in God's will and purpose, bringing heaven on earth, when we go and love other people. And all of a sudden we find, oh, we're not so bored anymore, or we're not so lonely anymore, or we're not lacking in purpose anymore, because we're doing what God wants us to do. Now, that is very simple and straightforward, I hear you say. And do you know why? Because it is simple and straightforward. So that's good. So sorry if I'm not, you know, an opening fathoms of wisdom and depth here at the moment, okay? But I'm just kind of like doing the do, which God has, I feel, has given me to say this morning, okay? So bear with me. Okay, so what is within my power to make a difference? So like I said, loving people. Well, how do I love people? What does that mean? It's all very well saying walking in love and loving people and all the rest of it. But what does that mean? How can I love somebody else? Well, I want you to work it out for yourself. But I just want to give you some little tips and inside points as to what helps people, okay? And this is one thing, and Julian mentions it, and I totally agree with him, that people's basic needs are met. And we talk about how the doctors are full and the hospitals are full, and yes, of course, there are needs, physical, you know, needs. And it's because, you know, those are the people who come and serve and help in those key areas, okay? So that's why, as Christians, we have something amazing to bring, because we can bring the love of Jesus into people's lives. So it says in this book that has been written, which I have read many years ago, 5 love languages of children. All right? And what this book refers to is that every person, every child, and not forgetting, every child becomes an adult, so we can, I think, confidently say that adults work like this as well. 5 love languages of children. So children feel loved, know love when they experience these things from their parent or from mentors or from friends and this kind of stuff, okay? And I'm just going to explain them now, and you're going to fill in the gaps in your mind as to how you can serve and love others because they have these needs, okay? Right. First one, words of affirmation. That we're supporting people's emotions and encouraging them in life. So we can say, go up to someone and affirm them. And we can... Now, Rob is an old friend of mine. We've known each other for over 20 years. Now, Rob, I've already said this morning that you've got a lovely pink T-shirt on. And for the life of me, I've been trying to think of... You've got HCO on your T-shirt. I've been trying to think what that stands for. But I can't come up with anything. I started off with happy, clappy opening as a worship.
Yes, good.
But I thought, I didn't know if that was appropriate. I should say that in public, but too late. But Rob, you're looking great this morning, and I thank you for your friendship, loyal friendship over the years, and there's all my friends here which I'm seeing, and everyone else. But words of affirmation to encouragement. Rob is great. He's always happy. We always have a good chat. He always makes me laugh, because he comes up with his one-liners. He's a real, authentic man, and I appreciate him. Words of affirmation, you know, where we speak words of encouragement to one another. Can we all do that? Yes, we can. Okay. Next, physical touch. Now then, physical touch, this is a love language of a child. Obviously, appropriate love from a parent. You know, we hug our children and we rub their heads or pat on the back as they're getting older. Or a punch. Isaac has got this punch. Oh my gosh, he's like, he's got a hard punch. I try to do other things now to get away from that. But kids, you know, and adults are like a pat on the back, a hug, an embrace, you know, in appropriate ways where we bring physical touch. Some people thrive off that. Some people are all huggy and all that. I'm not really like that. But when they do it to me, I'm kind of like, get, you know, I try to embrace it, shall we say. And it's, you know, there's always that danger of getting mixed up, isn't it? It's like this person who as an intern here a few years ago, and I hadn't seen her for ages, and I went to say hello and give her the kiss, but I went for the Mediterranean kiss on both cheeks, but they weren't, so it was like, that was really awkward. So so be careful with that. Okay, so that's another one. Quality time. Who likes having quality time with people they like? I love that, quality time. Okay, that is another key component of people knowing that we love them. Some people thrive off a telephone call. I've spoken to someone, I'm not a long conversationalist, but if I've spoken to someone for 10 minutes on the phone, it's like, oh, thanks, I really enjoyed this conversation, and, you know, I've been in the house, I haven't heard from anyone for ages. I really appreciate that. It doesn't take a lot to do, but it does make that connection. So some people are talkers, aren't they? Some people really like to, and, you know, it's great when you've got someone who's a good listener and someone who's a great talker. You know, that merging there, that's a good relational combination. Okay. Right. Fourthly, gifts. Who likes having a gift? Someone buys you something. They thought of you, they've bought you something. I love having gifts. It's nice. I mean, just to think of someone's gone out of their way to think of something that you'd like and they give that to you. That's something I like. I know one of my kids likes that as well. I won't mention his name. But he likes having gifts. He appreciates it. He likes it. And, you know, that is good. So people like gifts. Have we gone out of our way? We thought of someone. We bought something for them. We've given them something and they appreciate it. And they feel loved. With it so far? And then finally, acts of service. Someone has taken the time out to come and help in a certain situation. And when we live in the body of Christ, this is something that is amazing, which I see happening around us in small groups and people serving one another and aware of other people's needs, and they'll go along and help with the situation and cut the grass or buy some shopping or pop in and do this and do that. That is another way people can feel loved. When someone has thought and come and done something for you, that is amazing. So those are five things. Now, I don't know whether you've been thinking in your mind as I've been mentioning about those. Are there ways that us as individuals here can go out of our way to encourage people verbally, to show appropriate care and touch, quality time, gifts, acts of service? Are those things that we are capable of doing? I think we are. And in this season, 2017, walking in love, valuing people, this is one way of thinking. You know, I know it's boiling it down to the basics, but, you know, basics work in life. They really do work. Okay, so, bear with me. I bought this really posh water bottle, and I forgot to bring it today. It looks like the John Maxwell one, but I bought it from Amazon. I was forced to buy it because I wanted to buy some charger leads for my phone. But Amazon have set this thing up now that if you want to buy these things, you've got to buy £20 worth of stuff. So I thought, how am I going to do that now? But I need a water bottle, and I need this, and I need that. And I combined it all, so I've had five bargains. But we've had to go for that because I forgot to bring it. So it was a waste of time. Anyway. Okay, so the beauty of walking in love, it's the biggest and best call of God in our lives, and anyone can do it. The only one thing that can stop us is ourselves. Is that fair to say? What are the ways in which challenge us to walk in love? Right, first off, number one, dare I say laziness. Dare I say laziness. Can't be bothered. When I was a teenager, I loved sport. Me like sport, football, athletics, rugby, everything. Loved it. Go home to the parents, washing kit, cleaning boots, making food, washing up. Me no like at all. Right? As a teenager. Liked that bit, didn't like that bit. Do you want to know why? Because I was lazy. Couldn't be bothered. And expected my parents to do it for me. Okay? Now, my parents, very good role models. Hard-working. Faithful. On a Sunday night, I'd be watching telly, songs of praise and all that. Not really. And my parents would be in an arrow formation on the ironing boards. My mother be ironing here. My father be ironing here. Together, teamwork. Five of us in a family, me and three brothers, two brothers, let's see all together. And they'd be ironing flat out on a Sunday night, ready for the week ahead. A great role model for a young man growing up, seeing parents working together as a team. Great, hard-working people. And I had to learn, around about the age 16, 17, as I was getting more independent, and, you know, work experience and all the rest of it, working life, that I had to conquer my limitations. I had to conquer my laziness. I had to conquer the fact that to achieve things in life, you do have to work and work hard as well. So preparing oneself, doing the stuff we need to do life. You know, I can't rely on my parents to do it forever. you know, one day I'll get married and, you know, I can't just show that I'm just a lazy bloke hanging around the house doing nothing. You know, I wanted to be able to bless other people through conquering my own limitations. So can we do that as people? Can we plug into the fact that we can learn to be active and think of others and put some energy into things? Now, I know for a fact that all of us here are like that. We're queued up with a volunteering group of people who like to put the hand to the plough, and that is fantastic. So I'm just trying to explain to you just a couple of things which challenge sometimes our want to do something or the ability to go and do something. So number one, laziness. We can conquer that, that's easy. Discipline. Second one, our own self-esteem. What we think about ourselves. If we think poorly of ourselves, we therefore feel we have nothing to offer. Now, this is one that I've had a battle with as a young man, and I've seen people in my family battle with it as well, is getting over, you know, what we think about ourselves. We know that God loves us so much, that we are special in his sight, that every one of us equally the same, that God loves us 100%, there's no getting away. But sometimes the self-talk, what we feel about ourselves, can be a challenge to how we relate to other people. So our own self-esteem. Well, let me just let you into a little secret here. The enemy who doesn't like God and doesn't like the church, he's a thief, he's a liar, and he's destructive. So when we have get an experience with these negative thoughts about ourselves, let us be aware that there is one who is opposed to God. God loves you, loves me 100%. But there is an enemy out there who doesn't love us and doesn't love God. And he will fill in our minds, he'll fill in the gaps, he'll fill in the little bits in our lives which say, I'm not worthy, I'm not good enough, and he will feed into our low self-esteem. So one other point of us recognising to be able to love others and to walk in love and to value other people is conquering that area of the battlefield. The battlefield of the mind. I know there's a Christian lady who's done a book on that. And to conquer what goes on in our minds, it is a key area. Do you know what? I'm on a Saturday, okay? And I think it's usually a day off that I would take. And look, I cannot believe how many things go through my mind on a Saturday. I don't know what it is, because I'm not in my usual routine, maybe. And I can recognise the thoughts that go in my mind as well. Sometimes the enemy's wanting to have a go at me on my day off kind of thing. And it's like, this is an interesting strategy. So I'm a bit more keyed up to it now. So let's just trust in God and try and get into our minds and in our thinking that we know that his love is there, that he is love. And anything contrary to that is not of God. So let's, you know, build on our own self-esteem. Let's work on that. Let's pray to God when we recognise those negative thoughts coming in. Let's, like, get on to it quickly. God, help me in this. All right? So that's another point. Third one, we're busy. There's no room for anyone or anything else. So busy lives are like, bup, 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 bup. We're away, we're off, and there is no time for anyone else. It's only those people who are in my busy schedule. So let's be aware of that. Let's look for the pockets of freedom to open up, to be able to love and help others as well. And of course, in our busyness, you know, that is an effective, efficient time as well. Do you know what I mean? So it's like something we need to break out of the barriers of our busyness as well, you know, and that kind of stuff. Fourthly, we're preoccupied. Our thoughts are dominated or engrossed in something else. Have you ever experienced going to talk to someone and you can see they're on a different planet, they're engrossed in something else, and it's like, what is the point of me even talking? Have you ever experienced that? Right, that does happen, you know, no problem to the person who is probably, you know, working out the problems of the world at the time, which is fine. But let's not always be so, you know, self-engrossed onto a subject or topic that's in our minds all the time so that there's no space for anyone else, okay? That's another one. And the last little point I want to look at is we're focused on our own situation, our own feelings, that we want to be fed and received all the time. That this, you know, I need all this. I need to feel all this before I can give out. Okay, so tiredness, sadness, stressed, angry. You know, have you ever felt those things? And when you feel like that, there's no way on earth you're going to be able to bless anyone or feel you can bless anyone. But, you know, that again is something that through discipline and through praying to God, he can help us in that journey, okay? Now, these can be little battles that go on, and I'm sure that there's many people like myself, this can be like a daily kind of battle at times. It's like learning the disciplines of overcoming perhaps our own physical or our own mental kind of, you know, frailties that we have, illnesses and this kind of thing. But through the grace of God, he can help us in that daily journey through the grace of God. And isn't that fantastic through his love? So walking in love, it's like a bit of a two-pronged thing, isn't it? It's like we're giving out to others, but really for ourselves, we need as much love from God and as other people do. Sorry, that's a bit clumsy, but that's the kind of thing I'm thinking about this morning. So we have our own failings, and that is, you know, that can be life. But fret not. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, there's this verse that Paul goes on to speak about. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Now, to reconcile is to restore healthy relations. And in Christ, we're restored to a right relationship with God. So Jesus leads the way in relationship. He's helped us be restored and reconciled to God. And we can, as people, help others get reconciled to God. And also, in general life, we can help in situations of reconciliation. So therefore, our job can be, part of it, is to work out this ministry or service of reconciling people to God through our story, through our walking in love. Maybe we would say, but I can't today. I feel rubbish. I've shouted at the kids. I'm so grumpy. I've argued with my reflection in the mirror. I've slammed doors. I've got my frowny face on. How can I walk in love today? And, you know, because we're in that situation ourselves. I had a bad day one day last week. I can't remember what day it was. And everything was wrong in the world. Everyone had it. Every child in the house. Every wife. The wife. The dog. If the dog was around at the time, tell you what, he would have been gone. I was having a bad day. But you just know how unproductive you're being when you're in a grump. Does anyone ever feel that? It's terrible, isn't it, to get into a pit like that. But God is good, isn't he? Now then, Lamentation says this, all right? Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. For his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. And what I loved about this verse was a couple of things. One, that God won't allow us to be totally consumed by our failings and by our sin. He won't allow it. We've got the grace of Jesus living in our lives. And no matter what's going on, however low we feel, or whatever precious life has brought upon us, he won't allow us to be consumed by it. And his compassion is faultless. It can't fail. And this bit about they are new every morning is, if I could say to take one tip away today, is this. When we get up every morning, don't allow iPhone 5 to tell you where you need to go. The first thought we should have, or we can have, is this. Thank you, God, that you love me. And I find that that is kind of the first thought I have every morning, is that. A word of prayer. Even if we haven't gone into the depths of a 2-hour prayer meeting the first thing in the morning, but just the first wake-up thought is to know the 100% love of God in our lives. That is the great way of starting the day. So that would be one tip I would say of all what I speak about this morning. If you can remember that, that would be great. Okay, so Jesus walked in love. We read in Matthew, the early days of Jesus' ministry, that he left Nazareth to live in Capernaum, that he preached about the kingdom of heaven, that it has come near. And what I'm going to do now, I'm going to whittle through my last few points, okay? Because I've got 10 and a bit minutes left, all right? So I've dilly-dallied on my first half of the talk, so now I'm going to go fast. So if you wonder why you're suddenly talking fast, that's what's happened. Okay. So, a message of love, God's kingdom of love, a message of light that shines in the darkness. So this is Jesus now starting out in his ministry, okay? This is what he's up to, this is what he's doing. Part of his walk was to call Simon, Andrew, James and John. I was reading this week. That was part of Jesus' starting out. He was getting normal blokes involved to train them. Now, these weren't the polished, finished article. They were fishermen. They worked hard. They were typical blokes. But they had this heart. Jesus saw in them something that could be trained and developed. And this was Jesus walking in love. Because he takes us, as we are, who we are in our lives, the normal person, to go, to grab us, and to show us how to walk in love. And that's what he did in those few years that he had with those young men. And we can do that as well. That we can grab people in this walk and in this journey together to see God's hand at work in them, to see what happens. And we recognise, we've done a study on Peter, how he went from being this guy, he was a bit of a big mouth, put his foot in it. One minute, you know, he's all over Jesus and, you know, he's the best thing, all the rest of it. And then it gets to the stage where he denies Christ and it kind of summarizes his whole kind of walk. You know, he's listened to Jesus and he's experienced it all. And then that kind of summarizes that at the important time, he didn't want anything to do with Jesus. But then we know after Jesus comes back from the dead that he restores Peter lovingly. And of course, we hear that Peter is like the rock. At how Jesus' church, you know, is built upon this kind of story, really, of Peter's life and how he was transformed and changed. And you can see the walk of love that Jesus has taken in this man's life. And it wasn't just him, it was the many others as well. We hear that Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in the synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, healing every disease and sickness among the people. News about him spread all over Syria. People brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, and the paralyzed, and he healed them. That is like, you know, God at work, like, that is amazing, doing amazing things, Jesus. Large crowds from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and the region across the Jordan followed him. So we see Jesus at work, serving, relating to people, teaching, bringing freedom, healing through his walk in life. And that is like heaven at work. And wouldn't that be amazing if we see that happening more and more in our own experience, in our own walks, and we're seeing it happen bits around us right now. And let's be encouraged by that. Okay, so just moving on quickly. When Jesus saw these crowds were following, because we've heard of all that's been going on, he kind of gives the Sermon on the Mount, it's called, okay, and he gives the Beatitudes, which is an amazing group of teachings. And I've just become the proud owner of three teenagers, and I've got them now for the next 2 years, because Naomi has just become a teenager. She's 13, and Sam is coming up to 18. So for the next 2 years, we've got three teenagers in our house, all right? And if I could stand and give them a Sermon on the Mount, it would be a little bit like this. So it's a good one. So this is good stuff, okay? So I just want to touch on this as I'm kind of landing the plane, all right? So the Sermon on the Mount, and I read them quickly, and then I'm going to just summarize a couple of things. This is what he said to the crowds. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So there it is, and the Bible scholar Warren Wiersbe describes them as attitudes we can have in our lives today, okay? Four quick attitudes. I'm going to bosh them out really quickly, all right? First of all, our attitude towards ourselves. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So what we're talking about here is humility, a correct estimate of oneself. So it does not mean that we're poor-spirited with no backbone. And the images that we get today of, you know, we see people like full of themselves and egotistical and this kind of stuff. And neither is it false humility where we say, I'm not worth anything, I can't do anything. But when we have an open, honest, balanced understanding of who we are, we're honest with ourselves, knowing and accepting ourselves, and giving ourselves to the glory of God, we see that that first thing, our attitude, our right attitude about ourselves is fantastic. And that is recognizing, yes, we're fallen people, We're given grace and forgiveness by Jesus. We live out of that, and we thank God for it. And whoever God has made us to be, we can live ourselves out to be the best we can before God. Okay, so that's the attitude for ourselves. The second little bit, which is verses 4 through to 5, if you want to put the slide up for me, please, is our attitudes towards sin. That we look at our wrongdoings and we're sad about it. If anyone feels like that, I feel like that sometimes whenever there's, you know, sin going on, or there's difficulties that I'm having, or there's stuff going through my mind, I recognise before God, God, you know, help me in this, forgive me. And God has a right attitude. You know, he knows the walk that we go through in life, and he wants to help us, and he wants to give us strength to live it out each day. So having a right attitude towards sin. So I'm just summarising it. Of course, there's a lot more study that can go into this, but hopefully it'll be a little bit helpful in that short moment. So we can meekly submit to God. Now, meekness is not weakness. Meekness sounds like a horrible word to me. But when I've studied this in the past, it actually means a strong thing, okay? So Moses and Jesus were described as meek men. The word translated by the Greeks was to describe this, a horse or a beast that has been broken to function with power that is under control. So when we live a meek life, what has happened is this. Jesus has actually helped us to submit to him. A person submitted to Jesus is an amazing thing to behold. Because there is power. We know that Jesus gives us authority and a power in the world. And in our expression, in our life. But it's power that is like under Jesus' control. So we're powerful people, but we use that power in a right attitude, in a loving attitude. So when we help those and live out our lives, we're not full of ego, we're not full of, you know, pretense, but that we're genuine, humble human beings who have been tamed by God, but in the right way. All right? Thirdly, our attitudes towards the Lord, verses 7 to 9, where we personally experience God's mercy when we trust Jesus, and the Bible teaches us he can give us a clean heart. So obviously, there's plenty in the Bible for us to chew on, to recognise that Jesus just gives us mercy in our lives, that he helps us in our journey of purity, that we're becoming more and more like Jesus. The posh word is sanctification, becoming more like him. And verse 9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. And we recognise that today, even now, in our walk in 2017, the world could do with more peacemakers, could it not? Okay, and fourthly, our attitude towards the world around us. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of God. So we, as people, it's not easy to be dedicated to Jesus as a Christian, because there is a world out there that quite often rubs against the things that we stand for. Okay, so especially we see a lot about it now. Whatever website I'm on, whether it be BBC or whatever, there's so much stuff now, isn't it, that is two-hand and that is so negative in the world. And if we focus on that, we have a pretty lame, horrible existence. But when we hear about what Jesus has to say about our attitude towards the world and how we can live and walk in love, it turns everything on its head. So let's just be careful. Do you know that we can get carried away a little bit, I believe, by media, the media, okay? And we can get quite a dodgy perspective on a lot of things. So just ask us to be wise in our, you know, day-to-day, the stuff that we read and the perspective that we have in it. Because let's not be scared. Jesus is with us and for us and loves us. And one example I just want to share quickly is this. 2016 was a great year of celebrities dying. When I say great year, a lot of people, you know, obviously people dying is a sad thing. But one thing that point became very significant to me was the one that happened on January the 12th was a person called Graham Taylor. Now, football fans here will know this person. Those who aren't football fans won't know. But this guy led various teams, Aston Villa, I think Lincoln, Wolves. He led these teams brilliantly and achieved a lot in his personal career. And then he became England manager. And the one thing that stuck in my mind as a young man, it was back in the mid-90s, is England failed to qualify for a competition, and also they got knocked out in the first round of a competition as well. And I can remember the press. My father always used to buy the Sun, okay, and the sporting pages. I'd always see there's this one picture that I can remember from all of these years ago, and that was Graham Taylor's face being depicted as a turnip. because they lost to Sweden, and they said Swedes 2, Turnips 1. So for me, what has stuck with my mind for, you know, however many years, without even thinking about this guy, is to the public, he was represented as someone who was a turnip. But when you look at, so what happened, he had died, and I was reading about it, and then I was reading the tributes, and time after time, it was people saying, what a gentleman, what a great man, always interested in me. He loved, he was passionate about football. He had time for you. And you got to read about the real life of this man and how he, through one-to-one, what the real person was like. And sometimes the nonsense which comes out of the press and the media about people takes away the true integrity of a person, who they are. And I think it's a horrible thing. So let's be wise in, you know, our perspective on people, because, you know, God, you know, loves people, and it's bad to label them, do you know? And of course, people do make mistakes and they get picked up on it, but that really spoke to me, Graham Taylor. Okay, so I'm going to close there. There are other things I could say, but there's no point, is there? Let's be honest. Said a lot. Okay, so let's pray. We call it a day. Yeah, so I thank you, Dad, for this season of 2017, which we've started off, Lord, as valuing people and walking in love. You know, we are your people this morning, Lord. You know, we're those who have trusted in you. We have received your faith. We have received your love and your forgiveness in our lives. And today, Lord, if we could quite simply ask you to help us to be those who love other people, Lord. We love, you know, the supernatural touch that you have when you heal people, Lord, and you set people free from conditions and hurts. We pray, Lord, for people right now, Lord, even those who suffer with mind issues, Lord, you know, mental health things, Lord, which are, you know, popping up, Lord, from time to time. Just pray right now for those, Lord, who are struggling right now, that your grace would fall upon each of our minds, Lord. And in our experience of life, Lord, that we would know your integrity, we would know your love, Lord, and that we would experience on a day-to-day, in Jesus' name. Amen.